Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we are studying together the book of Genesis. We've gotten right down to chapter 49, this great prophetical passage where Jacob, before he died, prophesied that really the history of all the tribes of Israel until the captivity. Nothing but the Spirit of God could have done that. And we started in with Reuben, the firstborn, and went right on down through 10 of them, right down through Naphtali, and the 10th one is Joseph. And that's where we are today. Now I want you to mark what he has to say about Joseph from verses 22 to 26. I'm going to take the time to read it. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers of Saul, he grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of the mighty God of Jacob, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, even by El Shaddai, the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, and the utmost bound of the everlasting hymns, they shall be upon the head of Joseph, on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now he speaks more about Joseph than possibly any other. The one nearest would be Judah. But you notice with Joseph, which means, by the way, a fruitful vow, it's a tribe that would increase in numbers. And verses 22 to 24 really is a retrospect of how his brethren hated him and tried to get rid of him. And you remember, they would have killed him because they hated him so much. And they sold him to the Midianites, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt. But we read in verse 24, but his bow abode in strength. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, Christ didn't come from Joseph. Christ came out of Judah. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 7, where we read, it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, out of which tribe nothing is said concerning the priesthood. Our Lord came from Jacob, from the mighty God of Jacob. And then in verse 25, you'll notice how he speaks about the blessing of God El Shaddai. Again, I come back to it. Even the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, the El Shaddai, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven. And he goes all the way down to about the great blessings that God is going to shower upon the tribe of Joseph and upon the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. May I just say a word? Here you have this man, Jacob, pouring out upon his son, Joseph, his beloved Joseph, the blessings of El Shaddai, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And you know, one cannot live for God and love the brethren without the blessing of God being upon him. I want to make that very, very clear to your mind. As you and I live for God and love the people of God, then the blessing of God's going to be upon you. You see, this was true of our Savior. You remember, he was hated also by his brethren. Yet I read in Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for everyone. Or take Revelation 1:5-6. Do you remember that passage where it speaks of the fact he's the firstborn from the dead, he's the prince of the kings of the earth, who hath loved us, who hath washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God. You see, the blessing of God upon the Savior has also been showered upon those who are joined to him. With Joseph, you had him, first of all, in suffering, in chains, in the dungeon. Then we find him on the throne. And then through him, the blessing of God came upon the rest of the family. And friend, I want to tell you again, God is never going to be in your debt or my debt. If you love the Savior, and even though you may be going through times of testing and trial, just keep on going with God. And don't for one moment allow bitterness or hate to come into your heart, because you are the one that suffers, not the object of your bitterness, not the object of your hate. You're the one that suffers. And if you manifest love toward those who would be so easy to hate, just like Joseph and his brethren, for they hated him without a cause. And in the position he came, he could have done anything he wanted to with them. But instead of that, he loved them. And hence, the blessing of God was upon Joseph. Be upon you. My friend, this is true. This is a principle of a whole Bible. You can't beat God when it comes to giving. And as Paul could write, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory. So on. And you remember that Joseph received a double portion of the land. You find in Ezekiel chapter 47 in the millennial kingdom. You have Manasseh and you have Ephraim. And by the way, do you remember, Ephraim became a very, very strong tribe in Israel. In fact, there was a time when the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, were called Ephraim. If you go back to your prophets, when he speaks of Ephraim, he's talking about the northern kingdom. It was the strongest, the most powerful of the tribes. This came through Joseph. So you have Ephraim and Manasseh. You have the double portion that came to Joseph through his two sons. I just speak of this, but I want you to get in your own heart being strong in God. He was full of love, full of forgiveness. We're going to see that before the end of the lesson today when we come to chapter 50. Now, I'm not going to go any further than this except to point out that you remember that Joshua came from Joseph. He came out of the tribe of Ephraim. Now, the next one is Benjamin in verse 27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. That's all he says about Benjamin. Benjamin is likened to a wolf, a swift and fierce animal. In fact, Benjamin became one of the most fierce and most warlike of the tribes of Israel. You find that in the book of Judges, chapters 19 to 20. Do you remember Ehud, one of the judges of Israel, came out of Benjamin? King Saul, the first king that Israel ever had, came out of Benjamin. And of course, I must speak of the fact that Saul of Tarsus, the great apostle Paul, was from the tribe of Benjamin. He speaks of that in Philippians chapter 3. He could name his tribe and was quite proud of his tribe. Benjamin was the tribe that stood by Judah when the rest of the people of Israel turned against Judah. Now, starting in at verse 28 and running right on through to the end of the chapter, we have the last words of Jacob, and he's going to die. This way you come to it. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, every one according to his blessing. He blessed them, and he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre and Hebron, and so on. There they buried Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah, and there I buried Leah. At the end of the chapter you have, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, yielded up the spirit, and was gathered unto his people. And that very simple way of talking about death. He just gathered up his feet into the bed, and he yielded up the spirit and was gathered unto his people. Was Jacob dead? Well, his body was, but not Jacob. You remember in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 32, when the Sadducees were going after the Savior on the question of the resurrection from the dead, they didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. Like a lot of folk today, they don't believe in the physical resurrection. And when I speak of resurrection, I'm speaking of physical resurrection. The word resurrection has no meaning if that which died is not raised. And Jesus Christ, you remember, said to them, God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. For he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I am not the God of the dead, I am the God of the living. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive. Their bodies went back to dust. It's true. Same with a believer today. What happens when a Christian leaves this world? Well, we go right into the very presence of the Lord. Death becomes the open door into his presence today. And this will happen until the Lord returns. You say, good night, earth, and good morning, glory. Allow me again to give you those verses in Philippians 1:23, where Paul says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But he goes on to say, what I think of you folk, I better stay here for a while. Or you take 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, very simply, absent from the body, is present with the Lord. Every believer in Jesus Christ is eternal. Or don't you believe that? Over and over again, especially in the Gospel through John, how often our Lord speaks of the fact that we have everlasting life, eternal life. When? In the moment you accept the Savior. Take such a verse as John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. He that hath the Son of God hath life. What kind of life? Everlasting life. Satisfying life. Indwelling life. It means being joined to the eternal Son of God. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the guarantee to us that we have eternal life. No, my friend, the Christian never dies. We may leave these bodies of humiliation, these frail bodies. And by the way, they've caused us a lot of trouble, haven't they? One of these days we're going to stand with redeemed bodies. This is the hope of every individual member of the body of Christ. We're going to stand in the presence of God one of these days with redeemed bodies. For I read in Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What do you mean, sir? It means that when I or you, if you love the Savior, you put your trust in him, and you leave this world, people say you're dead. No, you're not. Your body is dead. Your body is dead because you left it. Death is separation. And you go immediately into the presence of the Lord. Then when the Lord comes to raise the dead, you'll be raised. That's their body will be raised. Even though it's gone back to dust, God's going to raise you from the dust and from the dead, passion you like unto his body of glory. My, what a hope we Christians have. And even back over here, you have dear old Jacob. Speaking of the fact, he gathered up his feet into the bed, yielded up the spirit, and was gathered unto his people. What people? Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, Rachel, his people. And my Christian friend, when you leave this scene, you go right into the very presence of the Lord. The past few days, two of my friends have gone to be with the Lord. One left just last night to be with the Lord. And I tell you, my friend, it must be a terrific experience to leave this valley of tears and go right into the very presence of the Savior who loved you enough to die for you. My word of hope. In fact, I say very bluntly, the only man or woman who has any hope are the ones who put their trust in the Savior. Isn't it wonderful to have a Savior like that? You mean if I just put my trust in the Savior, I pass from death to life? That's correct. That's correct. Well, doesn't it say someplace in the Bible about a salvation yet to be revealed? Yes, but that's the redemption of the body. Remember that when Jesus died for you and me, he died for the whole man, spirit, soul, body. When Christ is through with you, when he's through with me, we're going to stand complete in the presence of God, spirit, soul, and body. Bodies that will no longer be under the sentence of death. And by the way, this was God's primal purpose for making man. Death came in because of the disobedience of man. Sin came into the human race and with it brought death. You can't separate sin from death. My body is not yet redeemed, hence it must die. What do you mean I'm going to leave this body? I'll say good night, Earth, good morning, glory. My, what a prospect. What a prospect of seeing him. Someone says, well, why don't you go? Why do you hang around here? Oh, my friend, listen, God left me down here to do a job. God has left you down here to do a job just for him. And when you finish your job, he's just going to say, come on home. And no antibiotic's going to keep you down here either. Because he numbers our steps and he bottles our tears. Numbers the hairs of our head with the objects of his love and of his affection. Now in chapter 50, right on down through the first 14 verses, you have where we have the burial of Jacob. I'm not going to go into it except to say this. That in the burial of Jacob, Joseph manifested some real wisdom. He didn't come before Pharaoh. No, he went to the servants of Pharaoh and said, plead with Pharaoh for me. And you know, I read in verse 3, after they'd embalmed Jacob, the regular time would be 40 days of sorrow. See, 40 days they'd be mourning him. But when Jacob was buried, or when Jacob died and was embalmed, they mourned for him 70 days. 70 days. You say, well, that was because he was the father of Joseph, the one who was next to Pharaoh on the throne. I'd like to suggest something there. You remember in the preceding lesson, when Pharaoh for the first time came in the presence of Jacob, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And may I say that Pharaoh, as far as God was concerned, Pharaoh was inferior to Jacob. As Hebrews 7 says, the one who blesses is greater than the one blessed. And so they mourn him for 70 days. And you go on down through, all the way through, the whole group went back to Palestine to bury Jacob in the cave of Machpelah. And you notice how many they sent. The great leaders of Egypt. The whole family of the tribes of Israel. They left their children and their cattle behind. By the way, do you know how old Jacob was? Pardon me. Do you know how old Joseph was when Jacob died? Do you ever think of it? He was 56 years of age. You see, Joseph started his ministry in Egypt at 30 years of age. Then you have 7 years of plenty. Then there were 2 years of famine when Jacob came. That made 56 years of age. And Jacob, that made him 39. And then Jacob lived 17 years in Egypt. So Joseph was 56 years of age when Jacob died. And you remember that Joseph lived 54 years after Jacob's death. He died at 110. I'm just suggesting this for your thinking because it goes over so little. I mean, it covers so many years, but little said. So you have here the fulfillment of the prophecy concerning the 12 tribes of Israel, the death and the burial of Jacob. And in our next lesson, I want to finish the book of Genesis, and I'd like to take up the manifestation of the heart of Joseph toward his brethren. And then I would like to take the whole book of Genesis and give you the purpose of God all the way through. I'd like to do that. Now, if you have the opportunity, read it through, will you? Read it through over and over again. And may the Lord wonderfully, richly, marvelously bless you. As you read and reread the Word of God, please don't give up reading and rereading the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will take the things of Christ and show them unto you. You only receive according to your capacity. May God increase your capacity and my capacity for the Word of God and open our eyes to the beauty and the glory of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Now the Lord bless you today for his precious name's sake.